when we watch superhero films, and one particular stunt seems too far-fetched, you just think, there's no way that that could happen in real life. Well, Michael Milford, a professor at QUT and chief investigator at the Australian Centre for Robotic Visions, has actually done the maths and science behind it all, and he joins us on today's show. How are you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing fantastic, thanks, Matt.
So, starting off with the questions, what brought you to want to take film watching to a whole new level by looking at the science over the action?
Sure, I think a whole new level, that's a big stretch, but what we're trying to do is use stuff that we do every day. So we all love to go see movies, kids love these, the movies, they often see them multiple times, and I guess we're just trying to hijack them to get the public a little bit more aware of sort of the science and mathematics behind some of the stuff you see in the movies.
With the release of the new Marvel film, Infinity War, can you give us some science as to how Iron Man can reach such breathtaking speeds when chasing after an alien ship, all while in a one-man suit?
Sure. So it's plausible that you would, in a few years' time, especially if you're a brilliant billionaire like Tony Stark, be able to create an Iron Man suit that could go that fast. One of the things we actually looked at was, would he kill himself trying to like zip around so fast and accelerate so fast? And he manages to catch up with some of the alien spaceships in the movie extremely quickly, and he'd have to have some newfangled technology that stops his brain from getting squashed inside his skull. So sort of a fun look at what it would actually take.
That's cool. So I've got an example. Can you give me an example of one of the most, I guess, far-fetched parts of the movie and, I guess, one of the most realistic parts of the movie?
So I guess one of the most far-fetched, and obviously all of our reviews are a little bit tongue-in-cheek, we're not really trying to hold Marvel up to the strictest scientific rigor, would be the fact that at one point, and I don't think this is spoiling the movie too much, Thanos, who's the big bad dude in the movie, who's awesome, pulls the moon out of orbit and throws it at the superheroes, just like that. And then a few scenes later, he struggles to wrestle with Captain America, who's just a sort of amped up human. So there's all sorts of wonderful inconsistencies in the movies. It's all good fun, but that'd be sort of one of the glaring ones in this particular movie. In terms of realistic stuff, a lot of the suits that the heroes are wearing, like the Iron Man suit and some of the others, they're sort of much more capable than we have right now, but a lot of people are working on the material science and technology to make at least some aspects of what those suits can do a reality, especially in defense. So they're sort of plausible, and that's what a lot of people are working on.
So we'll actually be able to swing around like Spider-Man in a few years' time.
Oh, Spider-Man. Oh, that's another thing. Shooting, we've got another review on another Spider-Man movie that we did. Parts of it are plausible. You'd have to carry a heck of a lot of spider silk with you to do what he does. It'd get heavy real quick.
Is it hard to watch films normally now, or do you always have that like feeling where there's no way that could happen and like this is why type of thing?
Yeah, so I guess when we say there's no way that could happen, that's not really a criticism of the movie. We're just getting people to think about, well, that's realistic, that's not realistic. It doesn't matter because it's a lot of fun. But if they think about it, that's a win for, I guess, science and mathematics. I don't really struggle to watch movies. I think if the plot is really horrible or the acting is very horrible, that's far more of a real distraction from enjoying the movie than anything to do with the scientific realism.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, my other question is, so when you're watching the film, do you watch it multiple times to really get a good grasp of the interesting moments that you want to talk about? Also, do you just sort of watch it once and you just sort of remember everything that actually happened?
So usually what we want to focus on is achieved from the first watching. So usually there's some like amazing stunt or outrageous sort of sequence which grabs our attention and say, well, we'd really like to cover that. But then to actually work out the details and make sure we do a reasonable job of analyzing the actual science and mathematics and physics behind the scene, usually I'll go and watch some of the trailers or watch some of the movie scenes a few times. We've done that for old movies like Speed, the classic old movie with the bus jump, and we do that for the new sort of Marvel movies and Fast and the Furious movies.
Your reviews have taken focus to a few of the Marvel superhero movies like Infinity War, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Thor Ragnarok. Have you thought about reviewing the science and maths for other films, like, say, the Fast and Furious car stunts or that new movie Skyscraper that's coming out where Dwayne Johnson jumps from a crane to a building?
Yeah, I've really got my fingers crossed. I love Dwayne Johnson, so I'm really hoping that movie isn't as much of a train wreck as it could be. Yeah, we do other movies. Obviously, Marvel is very popular and there's a lot of action, so it's an easy one to do. But we have done some others and we'll continue to do others. We've done some of the Alien movies, the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, the Mummy movies. We've all done reviews on those, and we're looking forward to hopefully maybe doing ones like the new Jurassic World movie as well. There's lots of cool science and physics behind dinosaurs and dinosaurs getting loose and doing nasty things.
What is your most favorite out of all those that you've reviewed so far?
So I'm a roboticist as a career, and I got to re-watch and re-review Terminator 2, and the Terminator films are basically my favorite films of all time. So that was really awesome to see that again in the cinema and the big screen,
Beautiful.
And get to dig into a bit of the science behind that. And that, relatively speaking, the Terminator films aren't actually too bad in terms of scientific realism.
Okay, well that's interesting. So I've got one last question for you, and that's, do you think that by talking about all the math and science behind these films, do you think it can get younger people more interested in the field?
I think so, and it's not about necessarily whether the movie gets it right or not. It's just about people maybe thinking about it just a little bit more, and going, "Oh, that's ridiculous." It doesn't take away from the enjoyment of the movie, but they've thought about a bit of science and math, and that's a win for everyone.
Yep. Well, thank you for joining us today, Michael. If people want to follow your work, where can they go?
Probably the easiest place is my Twitter handle. So I have a Twitter handle called Math Thrills. I know it doesn't sound like math can be thrilling, but it can be if you do it right. And I post most of my stuff on there.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Michael, for being on the show.
Okay, cheers. Thanks for having me on.
That was Michael talk about the science and math behind everything. Like he said, you can go to his personal Twitter, which is Math Thrills.